Good morning. Good morning and welcome on behalf of the local organizing committee and the program committee of this 2017 edition of USR. I hope you had good tutorial sessions yesterday, and I hope you enjoyed the welcome reception. And at the welcome reception, I received some important questions. Naras, the organizer of last year's edition, and Martin Plummer, the president of the R Foundation, asked me, will there be more beer? Will there be other beers? And let me be very clear on that, the best has yet to come. Now, that also applies to the other parts of the conference, of course. And if we want to ensure that the conference can be held in the best conditions, I think it's a good idea to make some practical announcements before we start with the real program. First of all, with respect to Wi-Fi, we are aware that there have been some issues yesterday. We are more or less at the limits of what the building offers in terms of bandwidth. We have about 1130 simultaneous connections, and we deliberately keep the download speeds a little bit low to make sure that everyone can connect. But of course, it is always welcome if you connect only one single device. Then with respect to charging, there are chargers on every floor and in the breakout rooms. Also for people who do not have local adapters, there are adapters for charging available at the info desks. But please return these if you do no longer need them. And with these two things, Wi-Fi and charging, I think I have covered the basic needs of human beings. So let's move to the food. Today is a special day, actually. Make a special remark about lunch. The Our Ladies, so people that are already member of Our Ladies groups, or ladies using R that may be interested to join them or to get to know the Our Ladies initiatives, are welcome to join all Our Ladies on the second floor for catering today. Then, with respect to the conference dinner, on your badges, if you see a bottle of beer, that is actually the ticket that will give you access to the conference and access to the bus that will bring you to the conference dinner on Thursday. Now, with respect to this badge, it's important to wear it at all times. Very simple reason, the security personnel has been briefed that only people with a badge can enter and leave the building. So please, for security, to help things, wear these badges. With respect to transport, I hope everyone has found our permanent shuttle service starting at the Brussels South Station. It is actually at the back of the station, close to the Novotel. The name of the street is Avenue Foncenis. But you can look for yellow beach flags. The same yellow beach flags you can see at the entrance of the conference venue here are also at the back of the station. With respect to the scientific aspect, so the sessions, all rooms have obviously dedicated laptops, pointers, video adapters, countdown clocks, and so on. There is a technical person for every floor that you can call in for help, but it is good if it's your first R conference, it's good to maybe go during a coffee break, test that everything works properly, and put your slides on the dedicated laptop. Of course, you're for the regular talks also invited to present using your own laptop, but there again, it's good to check that in advance. It's also possible for all speakers to upload their slides. So at the info desk, there is a special presenter's desk. And these people will take care of uploading your slides so that people now and later on will be able to look up your slides, consult your slides. Then, the R Consortium did not use all one of the main sponsors of this conference, a platinum sponsor, did not use all of its free entrance tickets, and these was gentle enough to have us transform these free tickets into free conference dinner tickets. sorry about that, free conference dinner tickets for 20 students that did not have yet registered for the conference dinner. And you see the names of the lucky students. An innocent hand has chosen these students so they can join the conference dinner. There again, just go to the info desk and obtain your bottle of beer, and you will be welcome at the conference dinner. Brings me to the next slide with the sponsors. I think it's important to mention this as a conference organizer. You cannot know how important it is to have the contributions of the sponsors to make all of this possible. We have Google, H2O, our bronze sponsors, silver sponsors, Oracle, Mango, Alteryx, our gold sponsor, Yoda, and then the five platinum sponsors, our consortium, Microsoft, RStudio, DataCamp, and Open Analytics. The sponsors will also, the platinum sponsors, will present themselves during short sessions before the keynote speakers, but do not hesitate to walk around and visit their booth and get to know them a little better. They are an integral part of the R community. And that brings me to the first sponsor session by Microsoft, and David Smith of Microsoft will give a presentation on the evolving perceptions towards R. Now, I don't think I should introduce David Smith. David Smith has been an important member of the R community for many years, working at different companies, involved in bringing corporate solutions around R, Revolution Computing, Revolution Analytics, that was eventually acquired by Microsoft. Now, he's, in my opinion, one of the key persons that have built the community around R, has been blogging about R in all of its aspects, the war stories and the victories of the early community, the new developments, and so I'm very curious to see what news he will bring us, what news and insights he will bring us today from Microsoft. So, David, please, the stage is yours.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here and really great to see everyone here. It's such a fantastic venue, and it's so exciting for me to be here at USAR once again. This is my 11th USAR conference. There have been 13 since it began back in Vienna in 2004, I believe. I've only missed two of them. That's not a record, I want to point out. I can't see, it's very bright up here, but Martin Meckler, I believe, has been to all but one of the USAR conference, so he is the currently recognized record holder for attendance, and if anyone has been to all of them, please let us know so we can award you your trophy. But as I've been to these USAR conferences and been a participant in the R community over all this time, things have changed a lot over those years with respect to R. And I thought in my talk today, I'd share some personal perceptions of how the community and how the world at large has reacted to R over its evolution. There we go. So as Tobias mentioned, I now work for Microsoft, which acquired Revolution Analytics a little over 2 years ago. And it's been a really exciting time for me and my colleagues working at Microsoft, because we've all been very, very busy bringing intelligence into all aspects of Microsoft software and products. And when it comes to intelligence, artificial intelligence, remember, of course, that the technology behind that is something that we're all very familiar with. It's data analysis and statistical analysis and forecasting. And today, when you think about where to go for the best capabilities in statistics, forecasting, and so forth, where do you turn to? You turn to R. And indeed, that's where Microsoft has turned to, as you can see from this slide, in many aspects. integrating R into its flagship database like SQL Server, integrating R into the Azure Cloud, integrating R into Hadoop and Spark, and even having its own enterprise-grade distribution of R called Microsoft R Server. But rather than go into those in detail, what I want to talk about is those perceptions of R at the beginning of that process, at the beginning of the R project, and the way it is today. Now, when I first started reaching out to companies, probably around 2007 or 2008 or so, and saying, hey, you're doing statistical data analysis, why aren't you using R? The number one thing that I heard from people at that time was, well, we've never heard of R. And that's certainly not the case today. Everybody has heard of R. And in fact, R is the fifth most popular programming language, not statistics language, the fifth most popular programming language of all, according to a ranking by the IEEE Spectrum that was published just last year. And that's, I think, a really, really great reflection both of the rise of data science and the rise of big data, but also the way that R applies itself so well to the analysis of all these new data stores that companies want to work with. And it means that every company today knows about R, has typically built a team around R, and has driven its popularity, in the rankings that you can see right here. Another thing that I used to hear when I talked to people about using R, especially in its very early days, was, well, R looks good, but does it do all the things that I need to do when it comes not just to data analysis, but also integration into databases or interactive data visualizations, all those kinds of things that people in corporate environments might want from their software? And that's something we don't hear anymore either at all. And that's largely due to the community we have here. Of course, R itself as a language has evolved and advanced over those years, but it's also been the contributions of the R community to CRAN and to other package repositories that have exponentially exploded the capabilities of R. So that now, in any domain, for any industry, for any data type, for any application, you can typically find that code is already there, ready for you to use, right there in the CRAN repository, which is just amazing. Another thing that I used to hear back in the days was things like going to companies, you should use R, but R is open source. That's weird. We don't use open source. What's that about? Or I would hear things like, well, yes, we would love to use R, but our lawyers say, it's scary. It's got the GPL license, all those kinds of things. Or I'd hear things like, well, we'd love to use R, but we work in a very heavily regulated environment, say in the pharmaceutical industry, all sorts of rules around what software you can use. And I'd hear from people who would say things like, we'd love to use R, but it's not approved for use in our particular type of application. I don't hear those kinds of things anymore. Certainly, one of the really great things about the fact that we now work for Microsoft and promote R has been the fact that when I go to companies and say, you should be using R, and they'd say, we're worried about the licensing, I would say, Microsoft's cool with it. You know, if Microsoft, of all companies, is integrating R into all of their products, and Microsoft's army of lawyers all around the world has approved the way that R is used, you can be confident as a user of R in a corporate environment today that your use of R is in turn in compliance with all the regulatory requirements and licensing requirements that are associated with R. And that has really, really helped the adoption of R in big companies, just having that reference point of Microsoft being confident of using it in that way as well. And the same thing when it comes to using R in regulated environments. I think there's no better thing to point out for the fact that the FDA itself is using R and is helping many pharmaceutical companies use R in support of their clinical trial submissions. And this is probably one of the most heavily regulated industries when it comes to using statistical software. So if you can use R in the clinical trial space with the FDA, you can use R in pretty much any regulated environment, and people very much do that today. Something that I used to hear back in the day was things like, well, I'd like to use R, but it's too slow for my application. Or I'd like to use R, but R doesn't work with big data. I don't hear those kinds of things anymore. First of all, R itself has improved an amazing amount, you know, over the years since the R project first began. Most recently, of course, with the introduction of the compiler and now just-in-time compiling. So R itself at its core is actually very, very fast today, certainly compared to the way it used to be. But when you bring R into an environment, into an architecture that can do things like incorporate multi-threaded mathematics libraries so you can use up all the processes on a machine at the same time, or when you, rather than bringing data to R, bring R into a database, that speeds things up a lot because you don't have to move the data from the database into R. The data is already sitting where it lives. And oftentimes when people say this particular computation is slow, it actually turns out they're not talking about the CPU aspect of the computation. It turns out they're talking about the data movement part of the computation. That's often the slowest part. And by bringing R to the data, things speed up a lot. And that's what we've done with Microsoft R Server, connecting it with the multi-threaded libraries and the big data libraries, and then plugging that into SQL Server, which, as we'll see, is used for many of these production-level applications. And of course, on the big data side of things, we now have these very big data architectures like Hadoop and more recently Spark, which are designed to hold multi-terabytes, even petabytes of data. And now we can run R in those environments as well. So again, rather than having to move around these massive data stores, we can bring R directly to those computations and apply these statistical data manipulation graphical techniques that we have available in R to these big data stores where they live. And then, this is actually something that I still hear from time to time. You can't use R in production. You know, a lot of companies say, you know, we've got a big research team that's using R to develop new techniques, new analyses, new methods, new models. But when it comes to actually bringing those R computations into the production environment for real-time, live, instantaneous type of computations, they think we need to convert that into some other system before we do that. And that's not true either. And I think that's best demonstrated by the dozens, hundreds of companies that are using R in production environments today. These are just a few examples that I put on the blog today where you can see R being used for real-time marketing forecasting, R being used for real-time pricing of plane flights, are being used for drug manufacturing, are being used for loan approvals, are being used for trading strategies. You name it, people have developed not only the research behind these new models in R, but have deployed them into production environments directly as well. And then probably the one we hear the most is things like, I'd like to use R, that's great, but is it supported? Where can I get support for R? And if something goes wrong, who is there to stand behind R? And once again, I'm really proud that that's something that Microsoft has brought to the table. Not only do we have a 1-800 number and a support line that customers of Microsoft R can call, but the fact that Microsoft is there with all its guarantees and provisions and services means that it makes it a lot easier for companies to adopt R, which has really helped its use. But also, I think when people say support, they typically don't just mean technical support. What they mean is there an ecosystem around this software that's going to help me when I need to hire a team to build an application around R, or I need to train people up using R, or I need somebody to run a service that is using R. And one of the great things about R and the fact that it's been around for 15 or so years means that a thriving ecosystem has built up around it to help people in exactly this way, both on the community side, with providing the capabilities of the R engine itself, from the wonderful team at the R core group, to all those packages I mentioned on CRAN, to all the online resources where you can find help using R, and then of course the vendor network that is built up around R that helps you purchase services around R, training around R, implement systems around R, plus all the packages that organizations like R OpenSci, Software Carpentry, and R OpenGov have developed in specific environments as well. An amazing ecosystem really helps with the support of R. So I just want to give you that perception of how things have changed over the time. Also, if you have any questions about how Microsoft is using R, I do encourage you to visit our booth up on the second floor and also get an I Love R t-shirt. We'd also love to hear from you about how you think Microsoft is interacting with R and the R community. And there's a survey to that end there, which you can find at the booth or at the link you can see on the screen right now. Also, we'd like to mention that we have several members of the Microsoft R team here at the conference this week who are giving talks. Ali Zaidi will be giving a talk this afternoon about analyzing GitHub pool data using neural embeddings. Andre is joining Gabor Ksadi to talk about the secret package to be able to put things like authentication keys into packages. Angus Taylor with using deep learning to analyze Amazon review data. And I'll be giving a lightning talk tomorrow about using R to control the world of Minecraft, which is quite a lot of fun as well. So please do check those out, but there is so much great content here at this conference, all running in parallel, that I know there are lots of talks that I won't be able to go to because of conflicts. But I am very proud to announce that once again this year, Microsoft is sponsoring live streaming of the conference, so hello to everybody who's watching from around the world today, and you will be able to find any talks you won't be able to see online after the conference at the link you see right there. With that, enjoy the conference, and thank you.